Hey, you guys, Sergeant B-Safe here. Let's take a quick trip down memory lane. You remember that one time Captain Chaos and I met Super Crime Buster? That was a fun day. Or the time we helped the Johnson family against that computer hacker. Yoga? Nah, not for me. Next. Or that time in court with Judge Mint. ADA Justin Case went up against Scott Free, Rob You Blind, Treacherous Tony, and of course Chance Wilder. Treacherous Tony conducting illegal activity at a basketball court. The summer months when we had to educate kids about dirt bikes and four-wheelers on the roadway. Rob You Blind attempting a burglary. Yep, he got caught. Frequent flyers Rob You Blind and Chance Wilder, they get caught often. Remember the time Captain Chaos and I visited Miss Gaynor's classroom? Yeah, I think he's got a crush on her. Then there was cuffing season with the smoke detector, no gas, and the free coffee. Or this poor guy who had to go up against Nasty Nina and her attorney, Wacky Tacky. Or how about the time Rob You Blind and Treacherous Tony got into that traffic accident while drinking and driving? They really thought they were going to run away. These and many more adventures can be seen on our YouTube page and also during the podcast Black and Blue. Don't forget to watch us and subscribe, and that's your tip of the day to get you on your way.
Welcome to Black and Blue, the podcast that's just for you. We bring solutions to everyday problems. We are here to humanize the badge. By interviewing first responders and discussing their trainings, experiences, and publications, Black and Blue airs weekly at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tune in.
Welcome to Black and Blue, the podcast that brings you the untold stories behind the badge. Every week at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we dive deep into the lives of our unsung heroes. The first responders and law enforcement officers who put their lives on the line to protect us all. So join us as we humanize the badge. We shed light on the incredible individuals who wear it proudly. From rookies just starting out on their journey to seasoned vets with years of experience, even retirees who continue to make a difference in their communities. Come with us and discover the trainings that mold us. Unforgettable experiences that make us, and the publications that inspire us to push forward. So buckle up and get ready to embark on a thrilling journey through the lives of those who protect and serve. This is the Heartbeat, Black and Blue. Black and Blue, where the stories behind the badge are true.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to another episode of Black and Blue. I am your host. I'm your motivational speaker, your empowerment coach, your author, and your favorite baker, Coach Klee, coming at you. Some of you know me as Coach Klee. Some of you know me as Clark Tent. Some of you know me as Klee Tillman. I am the host of Black and Blue. I want to welcome you. Thank you. We go live weekly at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And when we go live with someone from either a first responder or with the law enforcement community. And we either talk about whether they're rookie, whether they're seasoned, whether they're retirees. And we talk about their trainings, experiences, and their publications. And we got another barn burner today. I told you this month of January 2024, we're going to be hitting the ground running. And we're going to have a lot of fun while doing it. You guys saw the Sergeant Be Safe commercial that played in the beginning. I hope you guys like that one. We'll have a few more to play throughout the course of this conversation. Buckle up, get ready. We're going to have a lot of fun today. We're streaming on 5 different platforms right now, ladies and gentlemen, 5 different. We're on 2 on YouTube, we're on 2 on Facebook, and we're on 1 on LinkedIn. And later this will be uploaded to Spotify as well. So make sure you guys get your questions ready because this is live and interactive. So therefore, if you're looking for the shout out, you got to put your name and where you're from in the comment section so I know who's on here and we'll give you the shout out that you're looking for. Also, if you have a question, you got to put that in the comment section because I can't see who's on here since we're streaming on so many different platforms. You got to put that in the comment section and we will address it accordingly. And understand there's about a 5 to 10 second delay from the time that you post it to the time that we see it. So we'll get to it as soon as we can. All right. Make sure you hit that like button because likes are free. It keeps the algorithm going. Hit that subscribe button if this is your first time attending. All right. Got a lot of fun going on. You see the website scrolling below. You see it in various places on this on your screen right here on this frame. This workwithklee.com is the website for One Way Publishing. One Way Publishing is our sponsor that lets us put on the Sergeant Be Safe cartoons that sponsors us for the podcast itself. And you see a couple of the books behind me. A few of them I wrote and a few of them are their clients' book through One Way Publishing. One Way Publishing, their motto is they can turn a mere thought into a book this bold. Let me put some of the new ones that are up here quickly. Some of the new ones, I put the banners the wrong way. You know, I got to get things situated. Shayla Thompson and Sophia Thompson, they a mother-daughter duo that did their first children's book, To Be So Tall, was with One Way Publishing. Make sure you guys check that out. That's available on Amazon. Kay Childs wrote her book. It took her 30 years to do it because she didn't believe that she could, and she got her book of poetry finally up there. So make sure you guys check that out as well. That's on Amazon as well. And there's many, many more books on the website itself. So check that out. You see it scrolling below, not right now, but when you can, make sure you guys check that out. Another announcement we have here. Do I have it up here? I hope so. There we go. Sergeant Steve Sweeting, he's a former guest on the show. He's giving a training seminar, or he's affiliated with the training seminar. Those of you in the Arizona area, I don't have the dates and times. Where are we? We're Thursday, February 29th, 2024, between 8:30 and 4:30. There's a training going on. Make sure you guys check that flyer out. That's also posted on my LinkedIn page. Appreciate him. Thank you for, he's a great guy, the Street Stoic. If you haven't read his book, if you haven't seen that interview, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you guys are missing out on something. Who we got here? We got happy Tuesday, Shayla. Absolutely. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure you guys tag, like, and share. We got a barn burner here. Many of you guys may know who she is. She's actually been featured on the show in a different capacity when we had on documentary creator Jason Harney. And he was a lot of fun to have on the show. She's also been in his documentary, Wristlock, and he gave me permission to show this. So before we actually jump into the interview, I'm going to give you a little foundation on who she is and what she's doing here in the law enforcement community. All right?
In 2019, 228 police officers died by suicide. 147 died in the line of duty. This is a pretty big difference. That would make the number one cop killer in America mental and health. When you experience or witness a trauma, your brain will take a little snapshot. Like even right now, we're taking a snapshot and you'll never forget this moment, or you might forget it unless you see a green wall somewhere. And then you're like, oh, I remember that one time. Okay, I like to call this the box.
Erica Gaines is the creator of TAC Mobility, Controlling the Mind and the Machine, a class designed to help law enforcement officers manage stress and trauma through rehabilitative stretching and breathing, all through the belief that supporting the mental and physical health of officers will ultimately bring them closer to the communities they serve.
We take snapshots of everything that we're a part of, and then when it comes to traumatic or stressful situations, depending on your level of experience or understanding of the world, your brain might go like, what was that? That's known as a trauma. That's how I define it. It's based on your level of surprise. So when I think about just the average police officer with all of their regular human problems and all of their regular stressors, and then I think about them doing these like very extraordinary jobs, like being exposed to unbelievable traumas that we can't even make up. It's mind-blowing to me that anybody would think that you don't need to spend time recovering from something so intense.
And shout out to Jason Harney again for the movie, the documentary Wrist Lock, getting everything on the screen here. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm going to bring to you the president and CEO of TAC Mobility. She's been featured on the documentary, like you just saw a clip of, on Wrist Lock, talking about controlling the mind and the body as a machine. One of her goals is to heal the racial divide between individuals of color, persons of color, and the law enforcement community itself. And not only that, but combating the number one killer with law enforcement officers, which is suicide, or we like to say self-delete, because you know YouTube likes to censor some words or whatever we got going on. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, without further ado, I'm gonna bring her to the stage. We got Erica Gaines. Erica, are you here?
I'm here. Hey, perfect. How's it going?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. Did a little outfit change since last time you saw me.
Change, that's what I'm talking about. Thank you for making yourself available and coming on the platform. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, for sure. So like you said, I'm the CEO of TAC Mobility, and mm-hmm. I'm just really committed and obsessed with recovery and mm-hmm. helping people feel better. I saw in your intro video that you tried yoga and it was not for you. And I really wanted to kind of like open up people's minds to like the various forms of recovery that is available. We've got to teach officers to just learn more skills when it comes to like taking care of their bodies. So that's what we do.
I believe that. And that wasn't a shot. That's ask me that a year from now and I can explain it. Right now, I can't explain it for legalese reasons. Ask me that question later and I'll be able to explain it. That is totally off kilter. the yoga information, that is. But I know you're with wellness and recovery and all. How did you actually get obsessed with being in, well, the law enforcement community in itself? How did you become obsessed with that?
Well, I was already a yoga instructor when I first started working with you guys. But prior to me making this company, I used to sell switchblades at some of your police trainings at different conferences. And it was really where I got to, you know, like my first introduction to, I don't know, I guess what the real cop is. You guys, your vibe is just super chill. You treat people like family. And like when I first met large groups of you, I was like, I know what this feels like. Like, it feels like we're family. Like, this feels like what it feels like when I'm around Black people. So I was like, okay. I was like, I vibe with this. I like this. And pretty soon I just started observing how your guys' bodies move and what your bodies look like, and started hearing stories. And I'm like, oh no. What are you like? Are you okay? Like, what do you do to recover? And at the time, the idea of recovery was just, it was non-existent. People weren't prioritizing self-care or wellness. Mm-hmm. And so it's been really cool to see how things have evolved. But yeah, I got started just, you know, kind of kicking it with you guys and just seeing what life was like.
Wow, at conventions. And so before you actually were doing selling the switchblades, and you got to see how we vibed outside of our element, or just how we treated everyone like family, what was your initial thought of police officers beforehand?
I had never really had very many interactions. So my ex-husband, we had a couple of police officers that were in the family, and they were the brother-in-laws that I just did not get along with. They were just very salty, very quiet, very just skeptical and like suspect of so many things. So for me, I didn't really vibe with that. And that was really like my close-up interaction with it. And then growing up, you know, I've heard lots of stories from my family members who've had not great run-ins with cops. So I didn't have, I would say like a great interaction with them, but I don't know, just me as a person, I try not to judge people off of like general ideas. And I kind of just went into it going like, I'm going to make some money off these people because this is my job. It's sales and they love knives. I love knives. So, you know, I kind of went in with it with a clean slate, but I mean, I didn't have like a warm and fuzzy feeling when it came to cops for sure.
Gotcha. Yeah. And then once you started hanging around individual cops and law enforcement and first responders, and like you said, you could see the body language, you could kind of pick up on the nonverbal cues, and you're like, things started buzzing. You saw the traumas, or you saw the effects of the traumas that have on us through the job. And what made you want to actually help with recovery or therapy or whatever the right choice of word is? I'm probably using the wrong choice of words.
Well, I think I more so saw the coping skills, like the coping mechanism. So I saw a lot of just, you know, we're in a conference setting and there's always free drinks that are there. So I got to see like the party side of everything. I got to interact with a lot of cops that were married that were out there just kind of fucking around. I got to interact with like, you know, I saw a lot of like avoidance and dark humor. And that to me was kind of like a red flag. Like I get it, but at the same time, I was like, that's not the healthiest way to deal with stress. And I didn't have any idea of what the trauma exposure looked like up until I started researching and asking questions. I didn't really give two thoughts about it. Like I just thought, I think probably what most people think, where you're pulling people over and you're giving tickets and that's all you do. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really know what I was getting into. I was just more seeing the things that I know in a general sense don't do well for your body long term. Mm-hmm. And once I started like hearing stories and hearing again how people were like, oh, it's fine, it's no big deal, like it's not whatever, when I would ask like, are you okay, mm-hmm. and people just kind of brush it off, that's when I was like, so here's the thing about how our bodies work. In some way, shape, or form, the stress that you experience is gonna overflow into your life somehow. So it was more the negative stuff that I was picking up on.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was watching a training, one of the trainings that you did online a couple days ago, and you said something that was really, that resonated with me, and that I don't think it clicked. And we talked backstage, I've been doing this for 18 years, and to actually hear something that you said, like, wow, that's actually kind of true, is that in this job, we're taught to shut down so many different things, our emotions, our thought process, on from one call to another call, where we shut down our emotions, or we shut down some things, some of our triggers, to the point where it shuts down our ability to be hungry. It shuts down the ability to sleep correctly and things like that. And I'm like, wow, there. I mean, I know we work a rotating schedule. I know most of us, we work 12s and things like that. So my sleeping pattern is crazy. Chaotic. My eating pattern is crazy and chaotic as well. And then I try and think, like, when's the last time I actually felt hungry? And I know sometimes during the day I need to eat because, all right, well, it's about time to eat because it's breakfast time. But do I actually have like hunger pains? And I don't even remember the last time I really did, unless I went a full day and my body was just going, rah, it was just crazy.
Dude, for real. So like, wellness, mental health training aside, there's like the very just regular ass stuff of like, how is your body talking to you? Can you even hear it anymore? And I think, you know, when you work in a field like you do and you're going and you're going, and then when you're not going, you're trying to kind of shift gears into family life or your personal life, your your well-being and your self-care will just naturally fall to the bottom. Like, if you have any single moms that are listening to this podcast, like, this is another group of people where, like, you're putting all of these people first. So your physical needs just end up being last. Like, simple things. Like, are you going pee when your body says I have to go pee, or do you just ignore it and your body just gets used to, like, just putting off these regular biological needs that you have? Like, it's so interesting to me.
It is. That resonated with me. I was like, wow, something simple. And I never thought about it like that until I actually heard it. Like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, our bodies, you know, we have to achieve these certain levels of perceived safety in order for some of our body's functions to do what they naturally do. Mm-hmm. One of those things being like reproduction or like sexual intimacy. Mm-hmm. If, like, I was listening to a podcast the other day and this sex therapist was talking about, you know, how your sex drive goes down when your stress is increased, and it predates to when we were, you know, when we're like cavemen. You don't need to have a boner if you're running from a saber-toothed tiger. Like, it's very simple.
It makes sense though.
There are basic things. Like, you don't need to eat a pizza if you're running from a dinosaur.
Yeah.
So they're really basic things, but all of that stuff adds up over time. And I think when we're talking about wellness, especially police wellness, there's so many different avenues that we can look at, like nutrition, we can look at sleep, we can look at relationships. There's just so many things. Mm-hmm.
So how did you start become the president and CEO of TAC Mobility? What's the origin of that? And can you tell us how many trainings you put on, or how many first responders you've been in front of or affected their lives?
Yeah. I should have calculated the number. So I don't have a rough number. I think the last time that we looked at our training roster, we were over the 800 number. So we've trained quite a few police officers. But it all kind of got started when I put myself through one of those shooting simulations.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at a training, so it was downtime, and, like, you know, the guys over at Virtra had gotten to know him, and they're like, we'll just put her in there. Wow. And I did it, and I remember just walking out and having this full body, just overwhelming feeling. And it made me realize that you guys are a big group of liars. Every time that I was asking you how how you dealt with the job, and you're like, it's fine, it's not a big deal, I was like, I've got bullshit. Like, it was just... it was just a very extreme experience for me. Obviously, you know, I'm not from your guys' community, so it was something very different than what I've ever experienced. But it was like, I want to know more about this, because, you know, really, like, the big poignant question that I walked out with was like, I wonder if what people view as like racism or bias.
Mm-hmm.
Police reform was like a very, very hot topic at the time that I started this, around 2017. Mm-hmm. So I walked out going like, I wonder if like what people view as racism or bias is really like this human limitation or this trauma response, but we're catching it on camera. Mm-hmm. And one camera view at that. And it just really made me want to like press into the relationships that I had formed and start asking people, what are your guys' experiences like with that moment? Like, how are you guys trained for that? What do you do when that happens? Like, how do you understand what your body's doing in those moments? Mm-hmm. And from there, you know, we ended up building like this really huge survey that has, you know, now it has over 2,000 police responses, but
yeah.
You know, we just started like looking at this information and realizing like, man, if we're going to talk about police reform and we are not going to include the well-being of the people who are like carrying out these policies that are mm-hmm. supposed to reform, we're not going to get anywhere successful. And so that was kind of like the route that I was taking. I was like, hey, I want to know what this is like. And then I ended up finding that suicide is like the fastest growing way that law enforcement officers die. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
It was such a surprise, and it came out of left field because no one was talking about this. Like, everyone is like, we're good.
Yeah. That's a like, commonality. Yeah.
Like, we're fine. We're tough. We're badasses. Like, we're all the things. Like, we've got the t-shirts. But when it came to like mental health, it was like, no, we're not talking about it. So I was like, I want to build something that doesn't suck when it comes to wellness. So that was, we kind of got a tagline, resiliency training that doesn't suck. Like, you have to be able to take wellness trainings that you approve, you know, something that you can invest in, like your emotions. Like, if you're not buying into wellness, you're not going to do it.
Yeah. I remember going through the academy, and one of the first things they said, the number one killer, like you said, for law enforcement, first responders, is suicide, self-deletion. And it was shocking to me then, because I'm like, man, why would you want to do that? Like, I've been yearning to get into this job my entire life. Finally in the academy, and you're saying we're our own worst enemy. We're taking ourselves out. And I came in at a time where you don't talk about your feelings. You don't talk about what's going on. You don't talk about, you keep your problems, your whatever you're going through at home, you keep that limited. You don't bring that to the job. Even if you do see something or go through something at work that may be traumatic to you and not even everyone else, you kind of hold it in and you deal with it and you just move on. And eventually, time heals all wounds. You'll get over it. I remember some of the old timers when I was on, you know, I've seen worse. You'll be all right. Once by the end of the shift, we'll go out, have choir practice, and then we're all done. You'll get over it and we'll move on from there. And that was the norm. That was the norm up until recently. I think wellness and mental health has been the forefront because either we're taking ourselves out before we retire. Law enforcement, we normally, after we retire, we don't get to enjoy our retirement because we die from natural causes or self-deletion or so many different things. I'm like, why can't we enjoy life while we're working? Why can't we enjoy life after we retire? And that's been the big buzzword lately.
I 100% agree with everything that you just said. I think, you know, I think with everything in life, you know, it's going to take a while for you to see the repercussions of what you do or the outcome of the way that you've been living. Like if you implement like a new lifestyle, you decide to do 10 jumping jacks every day, you're not going to see like the consequence of that right away. It's going to take time. And then eventually when you start to see the signs of how that's working for your body, you can move forward. And I think that's kind of where law enforcement has been. I mean, you guys in general aren't that old. And as far as the science of how our brains and our bodies work, that stuff is all relatively within the last decade that it's become, you know, something that's pushed to the forefront. So I think things make sense for where they're at, but I, you know, if we're looking at information, we're looking at data, we're looking at numbers, the time is now to course correct.
Yeah.
Saying? Like, it doesn't have to be that you're doing yoga every single day or whatever, but I think like gaining a general awareness of how your body works. I think that is something that every human deserves to have is, do you understand the implications of your lifestyle? Mm-hmm. And once you understand the implications of your lifestyle, then you can decide, is this something that I want to do? Is this something that I don't want to do? Like what's there's this post that I saw the other day that was saying the cost of anything is how much life you give for it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you have to really understand the cost of your job and recognizing like, you're not doing easy stuff. Right. And I think, like you mentioned, there's so many people that minimize other people's experiences because maybe they have more experience with something they view as more intense. But I think it just really leaves a lot of people feeling alienated. And like you said, there's only the only other thing that you can do is shove it down because your family, you know, like my husband, he's a trooper and there's a lot of stuff that he does not share with me and I'm really grateful for it. Like I don't want to know a lot of it. Like I don't need all of the details. So it's like, if he can't talk about it at work and he can't talk about it at home and he doesn't have skills to process it, or he doesn't have a support system outside of those two areas, where's it going to go?
Yeah.
It goes to the body. Mm.
Absolutely. And we're going to dig a little bit more into that. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, stand by. We've got a certain Be Safe commercial coming through, and we're going to jump right back to this interview. Stand by.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Jump too hard, don't stand too close.
Hello, Sergeant Be Safe, Captain Chaos. I'm your new district attorney, Justin Case.
Hello, Justin Case. Nice to meet you.
Yes, it's a pleasure. I'm glad we're all on the same team.
Yes. Locking up bad guys. Let's go inside the courthouse and see the judge. We have bad guys to put away.
You are absolutely right. Let's go inside and get to work.
All rise. I am the Honorable Judge Mint.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Attorneys, present your closing arguments.
I'm a defense attorney, Scott Free, and my guys didn't do it.
The proof has been laid out, Judge. Sergeant Be Safe and Captain Chaos caught these guys red-handed.
What you mean, red-handed?
Order in the court!
I find these three guilty on all counts.
Ooh.
Well, I'm out of here.
I'm innocent. I didn't sell crap.
What do you mean, guilty? I don't hack.
Good work.
Yes, job well done, team. I just want to say good job to our brand new district attorney, Justin Case. And from me and Captain Chaos, that's your tip of the day to get you on your way.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Shout out to those voiceovers with Sergeant Be Safe. They don't want to. They don't want the recognition I believe they deserve. So if you know who they are, give them the shout out. If you know the community that they're with, give them the shout out. I won't put them on blast right now, but I appreciate the hard work they do. But we're jumping right back in this interview with Eric Gaines. And we were just talking about wellness. And we were talking about how the law enforcement community bottles things in. And either if you're not able to talk about it in some sort of platform or get it out in some sort of positive way, then it affects the body. What are some of the effects that you see on the body for those that we shove it down and we harbor the trauma, pain, whatever it may be from the job itself? What are some known factors that is like blaring to you that you see all the time?
Waking up in your body feeling like it got hit by a truck. It's so interesting because we don't think about chronic pain being associated with stress, but if your body is constantly just trying to deal with stress by keeping it in, you know, that idea of bottling it up, you're keeping all kinds of nervous energy within your body. You're going to squeeze your muscles against the bones. And if you're just sleeping with your jaw clenched, or you're sleeping with the muscles along your spine and they're super tensed up against your back, or you're, you know, compressing your like your discs while you're sleeping because your body is just rigid, you're going to wake up and you're not going to feel well. And if you wake up not feeling well, how does that set the tone for your day? Wow. It's really basic, but that happens a lot. We see a lot of IBS, a lot of gut issues happening, which makes a lot of sense to me. You interact with a lot of policies and procedures that you may or may not like. You know, a lot of people are having uncomfortable conversations with their leaders and managers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think of younger police officers that are not used to walking up to strangers and having uncomfortable conversations or having somebody yell at them. We have so many connections between our brain and our gut that are really alerting us to danger that could be potentially in the future, that people are not connecting the dots of, oh, my stomach always feels like garbage. And, oh yeah, that's right, I'm always in a stressful environment. So those are the basic body things that we see a lot. But yeah, the chronic tension is a really big one. Like when I first met you guys and just listening to the war stories and, you know, back in the day and all this stuff and people getting hit by cars, I just worked with an officer here locally and he's a motorist cop and he had had 6 surgeries. I said, wow. Right. And I'm going, man, how does your body feel in the day to day? He's like garbage. Like real talk. Like we could talk about mental health all day long, but like, if you just wake up and your body feels like garbage, man.
So I swear to God, you were just preaching to me just a minute ago. And I know you probably hear it a lot, but I chronic back pain is something that goes on in this community. And, you know, we got the ballistic vest, the duty belt. I got pains are there, whether they're level 10 or level 2. It's always constant. It doesn't go away. And then, you know, you can't wait to go to bed and sleep. And then when you wake up and like it automatically, you got to stretch and then pop this and pop that. And the pain is still there. I'm like, wow, this is going to be forever now. And it's annoying, but it's to the point now, it's been so long that I hate to say you get used to it.
You get totally used to it. And I think this is where people are missing something major, is that chronic pain and suicidality are very intertwined.
Wow.
When you have decided that this is just your life, like you're just going to always feel like dog shit, it becomes very difficult to see hope in the future. Like if your body feels bad and it's changing how you can hang out with your kids, things that you can do, it prevents you from going on that fishing trip or going on that hiking trip. And your life just becomes very sedentary because moving doesn't feel good. I think that people are really minimizing just how much of a hit your mental health takes when you're no longer look at your body and feel like it's yours and you're in control of it. Mm-hmm. And man, I really feel for that. But chronic pain leads a lot of people down like a very dark mental health journey.
Wow. I never had that connection either. I'm sorry to hear that, but it does make perfect sense. Absolutely.
Yeah. Especially if you feel like, you know, I interact with people all the time and they're like, well, what should I do? What would you suggest for this? And I'm like, number one, go to a chiropractor. Okay. I'm here to teach you how to move your body and introduce mobility. I'm not a doctor. Go see a chiropractor. And people are like, no, you know, I saw one time. And I'm like, stop this right now. That's like saying that all cops are bad. Just because you interact with one bad chiropractor doesn't mean anything. But if you don't have like a support team, like a medical team that can advise you of how to rehabilitate your body to feel better, you just kind of like write it off as it's just always going to be like this. And you know, if you're having a lot of 10 days, like you just said, where that pain is like just up there, it changes your mood. It definitely changes how you interact with the people that you love and care about. And it makes you more likely to snap back at people. And I think when we're looking at, you know, videos of police officers, like losing their shit on people and whatever, I go to myself, like, what's that person going through that day? Like how much of, you know, what does their body feel like? How much capacity for stress do they have? Like what? Yeah, I feel like it's just a deeper conversation, mental health, you know, than just like, oh, I feel depressed. Why?
Yeah. So with a training that you have put on, can you give us a quick scenario? I know you don't have to give us your proprietary blend and things like that. But if you're putting on a training for it, what kind of things would you cover?
Say like it was kind of lagging. Say it again.
If you're putting on a training for us, a group of law enforcement officers, what kinds of things would you cover? What kinds of things would you suggest? How would a typical training for you go?
We start with a lot of information. Like my philosophy is like, I'm going to throw a bunch of shit at the wall and whatever sticks, run with it, because it's a lot of information that we cover in 4 hours. There's a lot of science stuff, but yeah. I think one of the most impactful things that we do in our trainings is we show data from our surveys. We have quite a few of them. We have a total of 7 now, but the big one that has like the 2,500 responses is really just information about what other officers across the United States are experiencing. Because I think, like you said, if when you're at work, people aren't talking about it and, you know, things are being minimized and you're not talking about it at home, you're kind of left to just feel it, feel all the feels. So being able to show how many officers associate spousal friction with stress, or how many people have chronic back pain, or how many people are stressed by poor leadership, I think really helps people feel like they're normal, like there's nothing wrong with them. Mm-hmm. And when we bring the science to the table, it really, it demystifies the things that we don't understand. I think in general, anything that you don't have a clear understanding on, you're left to storytelling, right? Like, I think back to how we used to think that people were vampires. And then we start learning about like vitamin C deficiencies and your gums bleeding and people being, you know, this lack of sunlight. And it, now we're seeing like the science behind the mysticism. And I think that that has been the most impactful, is people being able to go, oh, I get it. Now I understand whatever it is that I intuitively know, that gut feeling, being able to see a visual of how that works really helps people feel more in control of their body. You know, what's wellness to me is not going to be wellness to you. Yeah, well, you know, being that I have a lot of fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't interact with like stress that's level 10, and I'm not, my physical safety is not being threatened. And, you know, also I live in a world where, you know, I've got plants around me all day. So it's like, what's wellness to me is going to be different. So I think just enabling people to know how some of those mechanisms in their body work allows them to, you know, it kind of gives them that freedom to go like, hey, how do I want to incorporate wellness into my life? What would that look like for me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, you know, what we're known for is practicing. Wellness is one of those types of trainings within law enforcement where it's very workshop centered. And it makes me so mad because they're, oh my God, it makes it just one. Wellness is such a new concept for a lot of people who have been in law enforcement for a long time. Like, yes, a lot of people look at wellness as like, that is some weird shit. I am not going to do that.
It's stigmatized. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're just putting a workshop on and you've got some boring ass PowerPoint with like pictures from 1990 and it's this completely new concept, and then you just like say, you know, peace be with you, I hope that things go well, the chances of those attendees actually picking up those skills that you're trying to teach, it's just very, very low, which is why when you do any other form of training, you have a standard, you've got to practice it, and you've got to hopefully meet those standards yearly, or else we've got problems on our hands, right? Because we know that there's some potential consequences. And so what we do is say like, hey, here's a bunch of wellness information. Here's how our bodies work. Here's like a very basic way of understanding. And now we're going to practice some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's not enough to just tell you that you need to breathe and hope you do it. We're going to show you why you need to breathe. We're going to demonstrate how you breathe, and we're going to have you practice how to breathe.
Gotcha.
And we bring in cold exposure so that you can actually experience a fight or flight response in your body. And in real time, you'll get to witness how well you're doing at recovering, how well you're regulating your nervous system. You can even track it with, if you have like a heart rate monitor, you can see that stuff. So you can know for the future what you're going to fall back on.
Nice. Nice. So with all that,
Do you have any positive interactions or success stories that you can share with us?
Yeah, man. We interact with people all the time. So one of the things that we really pride ourselves on is that we have 100% class engagement, and we've never gotten a bad review. And actually, I lied. A lot of people don't like my nose ring. But as far as the content of the training, a lot of people really resonate with the training where, okay, ooh, these statistics make sense to me. But one of the things that really stands out in my mind is the number of people who've reached out to say, I was going to kill myself.
Wow.
And your page on Instagram or your content or your videos helped me hang on. I'm thinking of one specific cop, and we kind of became like little DM friends, where we just throughout the course of a couple of years would just like send messages, and she'd comment on my stuff. And one of the quotes that we like to say is, it's not you, it's the chemicals. Helping people to kind of just detach from the outcome of stress exposure and what it does and how those chemicals make you feel, and helping people not feel like they're responsible necessarily for how they feel. Like, it's not you waking up with like this determination to feel depressed or suicidal. It's an outcome, you know, it's a product of a lot of time. So hearing her say that she was close, I've had another officer tell me that he had a gun in his mouth. We get a lot of very real stories of people going, man, like, you just kind of helped me hang on. And I mean, to me, that's, my job is done.
Yeah, that's a win in itself. Congratulations on all the success stories. I mean, in this community, we hear about all the horror stories, and unfortunately, sometimes it's never good, but it just seems, all right, another one, man, I'm sorry to hear it. And it's normal, and it's another one, and it's always one too many. And we have the campaigns going, we have the slogans going, as far as reach out to someone or talk to someone, or you don't have to go through it by yourself. You have those peer programs out there. It's still a high number that we're taking our own selves out. So to actually have someone that's on the cusp, on the verge, right there on the cliff, and they turn away and come back, that's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Oh, it makes us feel so good. And those are the things that like we send to the team, and we just remind them, like, we are doing some important work and supporting police. Like, you guys do such a big job. And I think, you know, even as a police wife and someone that's been involved in police training for 5 years, I don't know the half of what you guys deal with. I can't tell you how many ride-alongs I've gone on, and I still don't, I'll never understand it because I'm not in it. You know, you said that you've been in it for like 18 years or something like that, right?
Yep.
How many days, how many hours has your body been in that type of environment? And if I can just be a small part of your success or anybody else's success, like, I'm happy.
Nice. Thank you. So with the website scrolling below, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if anyone wanted to reach out to you or attend the training or anything like that, how would they go about doing that?
Go to the website, tacmobility.org. There's a lot of resources. There's training information. We have full length videos for recovery. We've got a lot of downloads for people. A lot of cops love free shit. That is one thing that I have learned from
that
y'all.
Is true.
They're like, do you want us to pay money? We have plenty of free stuff. So go to the website. But I think if your listeners, if your followers could help us with our anonymous surveys, that is really going to be the best way that people in the police community can support each other. Is if we can get more information, then we can help advocate for better training. We can advocate for what it is that you guys want. We're currently doing, have you ever heard of the ACE study?
I have not.
It's this 10 question test that it's called the Adverse Childhood Effects Test. Okay. And it's 10 different questions that are asking you about what life was like before the age of 18. And this is a test where you You've heard of it?
Yeah, yeah. I'm described that way, yes. The title itself, I don't think I heard of, but yes, I heard of the test.
Okay. So we are trying to survey as many police officers and first responders in the United States as possible. I think we only have like 270. We want to reach 1,000. That information is really helpful because, I mean, if people don't realize that what you went through as a childhood has major health implications as an adult, you don't know what to look out for. Mm-hmm. So that's a big one, surveys.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, make sure if you're in the law enforcement community, make sure you knock out that survey, tacmobility.org. It's scrolling below. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, make sure you guys check that out. Absolutely. And one more thing, before we were backstage and you were talking about your Instagram page is getting a lot of buzz with a lot of topics. Anything you want to share with us on that?
Yeah.
She's like,
yeah. So cops treat cops worse than citizens do. You guys are terrible.
Oh.
Like the amount of shit talking and gossiping that I hear from your guys, like just about each other, just this constant. I'm going like, man, y'all are talking about mental health, but nobody's talking about how much negativity and like the fear of like, you can't be honest with the people that you're around. You can't tell somebody your secrets because that shit's going to get out, or like people not wanting you to go to peer support. That's a huge thing.
Yeah,
because gossiping and shit talking within the community it's so prevalent, and that takes a toll on your body. Someone posted a comment saying that the front plate is for citizens and the back plate is for inside. For your fellow cops. And I said, dang. Wow. That is brutal. So yeah, man, on our Instagram, we like to get the conversation rolling. Because wellness, like I said, wellness means lots of different things. It's not just mental health education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gotcha. So let's just say in a perfect world, I pose this question this way, because it kind of gives it a finite kind of response, even though it's not a finite response. In a perfect world, what is your end game goal as far as with TAC Mobility, as far as wellness, as far as anything with the law enforcement community that you have a handle over, about 3 to 5 years or 10-year goal, what would you say your end game goal is? I know you set a goal to set another goal, but let's hypothetically speaking, what would your end game goal be?
I want to see, the structure change in the sense that I think that police officers need to be given month-long paid sabbaticals after 6 years and receive full benefits after 10 years. Because I think what we're seeing is a lot of people who you get this job and you're enslaved to the future benefits. And a lot of people are staying in this career for longer than they need to, whether that is for health reasons or because they've become apathetic or they're making major mistakes that have like big community repercussions. Mm-hmm. I think that if we can ensure that people are receiving benefits for the services that they're providing for 10 years, they deserve to be rewarded with something. I think that that's going to really improve wellness if people have something that they can look forward to. Mm-hmm. The idea of a month off, you know, I don't have to, this is preaching to the choir, but if you have 3 days off, you're only spending 2 of those days off. Like, that's not enough. And I think if people have the security that they can leave that job for a month and just balance out their nervous system and regulate their sleep and hope and dream and kind of get back to some of their hobbies and invest in their personal lives, and be able to go back to the job knowing their rank has not changed. They're going to be apprised and filled in of everything that they missed. They're not going to miss out on any opportunities. I can't see how that would have a negative impact in building something sustainable for law enforcement.
Wow, that's interesting. I like that. I qualify already. But seriously, all jokes aside, I think that would be very beneficial. Just for the simple fact is you said the getting your sleep pattern on or to dream again. I'm like, man, I mean, of course, daydreaming and dreaming on setting goals, but actually a physical dream while sleeping at night. I don't remember the last time I had a dream that I can remember. That's normal for me. It's not something that's shared, but I mean, I know that's very prevalent in this community too, because our sleep patterns are disrupted.
100%. Like, to get your brain waves during your sleep cycle to regulate that stuff. I mean, everything starts with your sleep. And if your sleep is being disrupted, or you're not even getting deep sleep and you're only, you know, getting maybe 20 minutes of your REM, that is going to have major health implications. So I think, yeah, just something as basic as sleep is that's a big deal.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You're right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Sergeant B Safe is going to cut in, and we got one more point to hit before the conclusion of this interview. So stand by. All right.
Ooh, look at all the pretty butterflies in the sky. I guess I'll just cross the street here.
Oh, good. Light's green. I'm glad. I can go. Oh, my gosh. Watch out.
Sergeant, be safe. Be small, baby.
Megan, watch out for that car.
I got you.
Oh, geez. I didn't even see that car coming.
Oh, my gosh. Are you two okay?
Yes, we're okay. Megan, you have to do a better job paying attention.
I just wanted to cross the street.
I didn't see you walking there.
Megan, you just can't cross in the middle of the street. You have to go to the intersections and use the proper crosswalks. Wait for traffic to clear and then go. If you don't follow these simple directions, you could get a ticket for jaywalking, or worse, be hit by a car and seriously injured.
I'll be more careful from now on. Ooh, look at the other butterfly.
Oh my goodness.
Sergeant Be Safe, you are the best.
This is very true. Thank you very much. I did have to turn on supersonic beast mode to jump and get Megan out of the way. Remember, folks, look both ways before crossing the street and wait till the intersection's clear and cross at the crosswalks. And that's your tip of the day to get you on your way.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are back in the studio. Got Erica Gaines right here, the president and CEO of TAC Mobility. We had a wonderful discussion, learned a lot of things, said a lot of funny stuff, and a lot of information that resonated that a veteran old guy like me, I told you earlier in the interview, some things didn't even click until hearing it with the past couple days or during this interview itself. Eric, I had a great time having this conversation with you. But before we go, I may have forgot to ask you a question, or through the course of this interview, I may have jogged your memory on something that you wanted to cover. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us right now? The floor is yours.
Oh, you put me on the spot. Really, the surveys are, you know, we're having a lot of conversations about police reform, and it's such a triggering topic for class. Mm-hmm. Which makes a lot of sense because it's often shoved down people's throats. But being able to weigh in on what you see the future of policing to be is really, really impactful. I don't want people to give up that fight, and I don't want people to stop giving healthy, useful feedback when it comes to what reform should be. So if you can be a part of any of our anonymous surveys, that is how we're going to see change happen. Mm-hmm. TACMobility.org/survey is a great way to weigh in on some major topics that impact your career.
Absolutely. Oh, I didn't mean to do that. Hold on. Let me get it. There we go. You know, one man rock band. I messed up the show just by doing that. But yes, make sure, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the website's scrolling below. I'll make sure it's in the comment section itself. Go there, the anonymous survey. A lot of, be honest on it, a lot of good information just to make this community better. Not only does it make this, the law enforcement community, better, it makes the community better as a whole because we work hand in hand. I know the first responder community is tight-knit, lockjaw. Things are, you're starting to break the mold and actually talk about things more often, and have the services that'll help is just a plus all the way around. Helps the community, helps the profession, helps family members that's affiliated. So it's just a win all the way around. Erica, thank you for making yourself available and coming on the show. I appreciate you. I appreciate you donating your time and coming on here. I hope the best for you. If there's anything that I can do, and I'll definitely fill out the survey. I'll get on right on that as soon as we complete this. You know I will. Let me know. I'm looking forward to watching you flourish and continuing to hear success stories for your company, for your personal well-being, and the individuals that you affect.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm Coach Klee, your motivational speaker, your empowerment coach, your author, and your favorite baker. This is Black and Blue. We air at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time weekly. We have another barn burner coming next week. Make sure you guys tune in. I want to tell you who they are, but I can't do that because I got to keep you on the edge of your seat so that way you come back in. All right. Make sure you tag, like, share, subscribe, and we will be with you. We'll be back with you next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we're going to interview someone from the law enforcement community or a first responder, whether they're rookie, seasoned, or retiree, and we're going to discuss their training experiences and publications, and we're going to keep this train moving forward. Thank you guys for tuning in. 10-4, over and out.
This is a good drink. I like this place.
I like it, too. Mario, let me get another one.
Well, jeez Louise, you guys each had enough.
Hey guys, don't you guys look nice?
Now your fools want to show off.
She's talking to me.
No, dummy, she's talking to me.
You want to see me outside?
I see you now.
They're fighting over me.
Hey, you guys need to break it up. You're wrecking my place. Hey, Sergeant Better Safer, I need your head now.
Welp, I got a few pics of them. I'm out.
You fools knocked each other out. Megan, don't you live?
Feeling it to that like Popeye when it's Christmas time.
Looks like we're right on time again. I don't understand why you guys are fighting. I just saw Megan leaving. Was it for that?
It's because she liked my profile picture.
We're connected. Insta-talk.
Sounds like she played both of you. Isn't that right, Kraken?
Sergeant to be safe. Captain Chaos, you guys saved the day again. You guys are the true heroes.
Thank you, Mario. We appreciate it. Once again, these two are going back to jail. Part of their punishment is they're going to have to pay for all of these damages. And that's your tip of the day to get you on your way.
I'm not a bad cop.
I never once said you were. It would be real simple if the problem was bad cops. It ain't.